Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Today's episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients with mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip all those trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. You can now enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in 30 minutes or less. With over 25 recipes to choose from each week, there is something for everyone to enjoy. All recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure both deliciousness and simplicity. This week, we were so excited that firecracker meatballs were on the menu. They're these meatballs that you make with like ginger and green onions, and it's served with roasted green beans and jasmine rice in this like sriracha creamy glaze thing. Oh my gosh. It is by far our favorite HelloFresh meal. Go to the link in our show notes to get $80 off, including free shipping on HelloFresh, the number one meal kit.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy, and I hear you have a different one for us today, or just different from our last couple.
Yes. I wanted something that wasn't on a cruise ship, basically.
Yeah, we did say we were going to take a break from that anyway, so I'm glad we're sticking with our original plan.
And this one is, I don't know.
What a way to start it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to dive in. Are you good with that?
Please do.
Okay. Today we're going to talk about James Martin Roberts. He goes by Martin, though, so I'm going to refer to him as Martin this entire episode.
Sure.
He was born in August of 1996.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. I read that and I was like, ugh. And we're going to talk about him at college. Like, people born in the 90s in college.
Oh, boy.
Okay. He's actually from Kernersville, North Carolina, which is right outside of Winston-Salem. I'm not familiar with Kernersville, but I obviously know, like, where Winston-Salem is and all that. He was a good athlete. He played soccer. He was super competitive. High school captain of the soccer team. Very close to his parents. They got divorced when he was a kid. And it sounds like he just remained closer to his dad.
Okay.
But he had a great relationship with his mom and all that. I just, based on the disappeared interviews and the family things I've read, he just seemed to have a more day-to-day relationship with his dad. When he was in high school, he kind of set his eyes on a business finance career. And he wanted to go to Appalachian State, which is out by Boone in the mountains out here. And I'm going to call it App State because that's what we call it here. But it's Appalachian State. Freshman year went pretty well. Tau Kappa Epsilon, which is a fraternity out there, invited him to pledge. And he did that. And he had a friend group. And he was good friends with the guys in the fraternity. He also had a cousin out at App State. Now, they didn't, like, talk or hang out. But they were related. So they saw each other. It was always like, hey, how are you? They just weren't in the same friend group.
And it's, like, a nice feeling of connection, even if it's not,
yes,
like a best friend or something.
Yes. So he heads back to school fall of 2015, and things get off to a little bit of a rocky start. Martin goes out drinking with friends, which is not abnormal college behavior. Being 21 or not, it doesn't really matter. And he decided to drive home.
He gets pulled over and gets arrested for a DWI.
Oh, no.
Now, his girlfriend at the time, I guess, did an interview with Disappeared. So she lives 2 hours away, and he calls her, and he's like, can you come get me out of jail? She, of course, is like, well, it's 1 a.m, but I mean, my boyfriend's in jail. What am I going to do? Drives there. And she drives there, and when she gets there, he's already bailed himself out of jail. And they get in basically a fight. And she says he basically threw money at her and was like, sorry, I wasted your time for coming out here. I don't need you to help me. And she was like, it's 1 a.m. Now 3 a.m. I drove here. What the heck do you mean, go home? So they break up.
Right then and there?
It sounds like yes, but I don't know. But yes, they end up breaking up.
I wonder if it's one of those things where they're angry and they kind of throw some words around and it sounds like the end. But if it were any other circumstance in a couple of days, they would have just worked it out.
Well, I think that he kind of, I don't want to use the word spiraled because that's not the right word. But he then calls his dad the next day and is like, this is what happened. He wants to come home for the weekend and like decompress. So he comes home for the weekend. When he's home, he stays and he basically says, I want to withdraw from college for the semester and take a semester off. His dad is super supportive and is like, I mean, if that's what you want, we're not going to force you to go back there. But, you know, is that the right decision? He says yes. So he gets a full-time job and he lives at home.
Yes.
He basically says he wants to take a break from college life. At the end of the year, when, you know, the holiday season rolls around, he says, I'm going to go back next semester. I'm ready. I took a break. It sounded like he just kind of needed a reset. So he goes back in January. And he reset, refocused, and heads back to App State. Now, this time he gets an apartment with some fraternity brothers. He gets a job at a restaurant. And he talks to his dad regularly. His classes are going good. Everything seems to be in the right direction.
So he's kind of recouping from this incident that really probably was super stressful. And you're thinking, this is the end of my life thing. But now he's working through it. Right?
Yes.
Okay. I understand.
Okay. So Tuesday, April 19th, 2016. Seems like a normal night. He meets friends out by App State at the Klondike Bar. It's trivia night. Totally normal. Now, I want to point out to you that like multiple people saw him out this night. This is where I should also say he's not great with his phone. He didn't like to use a case on it, so he had shattered his screen multiple times. He wasn't quick responder to texts or calls. He just was like not great at conversation or communication.
I know some people like that.
Okay, so I just want to put that out there. On Wednesday, his dad calls him. No call, no text. Same thing on Thursday. No call, no text. But his roommates had seen him. They chatted with him while eating breakfast on that Thursday, the 21st. He was packing up his backpack and a water bottle to head to the library as is like, it's like 10:30 in the morning. So they're just like talking about their day, right? So he's running to the library to do some homework. Around noon, his cousin who went to, like I said, I went to App State, run into each other on campus. They just like bump into each other. They chat for a minute and they both realize they're headed in the same direction. She's headed to the bus stop. There's like a local bus that is for the small town Boone and App State students to get around. So they walk to the bus stop. They, about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, he's telling her about next semester. He's actually headed to the frat house now to chat with some of the guys there. He waits with her. She gets on the bus. He waves goodbye, and he heads on to the frat house.
Sure.
Okay, this is on, like I said, this is Thursday, April 21st. Around 4 o'clock the same day, a few of the frat brothers stop by Martin's apartment to check on him. They realized that on Wednesday night, he had removed himself from their group chat text. So they were a little bit concerned and confused. But he's not there and he's not responding. But at this point, someone saw him a few hours ago. So there's no, like, alarm.
Probably a little bit of confusion,
yes.
Not yet alarm.
Exactly. So his dad, though, is like, what the heck? I've been now trying to reach him since Tuesday. So on Friday, he realizes he hasn't gotten a call or a text, and this isn't normal. Like, a day or two may be fine, but now we're at, like, Friday. And so he reached out to the apartment complex and basically asks for a wellness check. So the apartment manager reaches out to his roommates and is like, is he there? Have you seen him? Trying to, like, not go into the apartment themselves if the roommates know where he is, because not for nothing, it's a college kid not calling their parents back.
Right.
So the roommate goes and knocks on the door. He's not in his room. He opens the door. There's a note on Martin's desk. So the roommate calls Martin's dad and reads him the note. And then he hangs up with him. Martin's dad gets in the car to drive out to Boone. And the roommate calls the police to file a missing persons report.
Do we know what the note said?
So that's my next whole paragraph. The family won't let the note be released to the public because it's, quote unquote, so personal. But they've shared snippets of it. It says things like, my family's given me a lot of opportunities that I just didn't take advantage of. He alludes he's disappointed in himself. His dad, John, says that the note leads him to believe that his son wants to go off the grid. And then his dad says this, we've tried to downplay the note a whole lot because it wasn't like he said, I'm going to do this or I'm going to go here. It is very vague and very general. The average person reading it wouldn't say this is a worst case scenario and it's only a matter of time before you find what happened. It wasn't like that at all. It was pretty much, I'm starting a journey and I'm going somewhere. Police say he was basically tired of pretending and pretending all was fine. So all we know is it's not a suicide note, nor is it a I am leaving my life note.
Have police even looked at it so that can... Yep.
Yes, police have it. They just won't release it to the public.
Okay, so at least there's like an unbiased set of eyes that can interpret or attempt to interpret some of
this. Yeah, police basically say that he was, like I said in my last sentence, this is a police quote, he's tired of pretending everything was fine and not living up to expectations.
Okay.
So they search his room, right? And his laptop, his iPad, his phone, and his wallet are in his room. However, his ID is missing from his wallet. They also find some antidepressant pills that were not prescribed to him in his room.
Oh, boy.
So then they try to piece together, moving backwards, right? Martin told his roommates he was headed to the library. Martin told his cousin he was headed to the frat house. No one in either of those locations have seen him. So they keep going backwards, right? That's all you can do is try to figure out, like, when we have some consistent anything. Well, the buses in the town have cameras on them. So, Amy, this is the most frustrating part of the whole case.
Of course.
There's footage of him outside, leaving his cousin at the bus stop. He walks down the road toward a busy intersection as the bus goes the opposite way, right? When he's at the corner of a busy intersection, in which any direction could take him to various places, the bus pulls away, so he goes off camera.
Okay.
So then they go to his friends. A frat brother says, hold on, I took him to get a haircut on Wednesday. So roommates say he came home with groceries on Wednesday, too. So police go back and they kind of look in his room. There's no food, there's no groceries in his room. They also reach out to his friends. Basically, you know when your iPhone is locked and it says, like, text message, missed call? You can't necessarily read them all, but you can see they all came in.
Yeah, of course.
Police are able to use that to kind of say, okay, he got a text from XYZ person. He got a call from this number and go back. The ex-girlfriend talks to the police, the one that he broke up with, and says, well, I was reaching out to him because he removed himself from our high school group chat.
Why would you do that? And
So she texted him outside the group chat to be like, what's up? And he responded with, no one can help me.
Uh-huh. Does this not have tones of Derek Seehausen in it?
I think it's Derek Seehausen and Bryce LaPisa. Okay, so people start asking about his behaviors from when he came back to school in January till now, right? Because we have to go figure out what this is. Well, there was a lot of, like, his roommates would say he went out for the day and he would come back and they'd be like, oh, how was your day? What would you do? Not in, like, a accusatory way, but in a, like, how was your day? What did you do kind of way? And he would say, oh, I spent the day with my cousin. And his cousin was like, we never hung out.
Right. I felt like I saw that coming.
So police also find out some weird things. Martin actually had not enrolled in Appalachian State for the semester.
What?
He was attending online classes at a local community college.
Was he not living on campus?
Well, he was living off campus in an apartment in the college town, though. So then police get the records from his online classes. He had great grades, was doing all of his assignments, and then in mid-March, just never signed in again.
So, like, a month before he disappeared. Yes.
They also
called. What?
They also called.
And he was doing well?
He was doing great.
Okay.
So then they call his work to find out, like, when the last time he worked was. And his work was like, no one by that name has ever worked here.
What the heck is happening?
So when all this is happening, a woman claims she saw him out on the outskirts of town the same day he went missing, about 90 minutes after he left that bus stop. So police kick off out by Trout Lake. They search the woods and the lake. They use infrared helicopters, all of the things. Obviously, nothing.
Nothing.
In the next 5 days, they get two more separate sightings out by Trout Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Still nothing. In June, so 2 months later, police basically say, I'm going to read you the quote. Boone Police Chief Dana Crawford says, we have looked for signs of life such as financial transactions, social media use, and an extensive list of other investigative steps. We have also focused our attention on the fact that he could be deceased. We have searched area lakes and many acres of wooded areas around where Martin lived and in areas that were known to have visited by Martin. After 2 months, we do not have any indicators as to his whereabouts.
What is this case?
So, April of 2020, 4 years after he went missing, Police Chief Dana Crawford made the statement, even after 4 years since Martin was reported missing, we are following leads and still investigating this case. It is our hope that someone somewhere knows something that will lead us to what happened to Martin or where he may be. We still support his family any way we can, and they still support us. We are in this together, and we continue to hope Martin is alive and safe. And that's it.
What is happening?
I know.
I had to, like, go Google his picture. I had to see, like, who is this kid? Oh, my goodness. I don't even have to really ask you what the main theory is, because this is so much, this is like...
Well, I do want to say one thing.
What?
In Disappeared, they make a concerted effort to note that there is nothing mentioned anywhere having to do with sexuality or gender identity. Which, I was like, why did you even bring that up? Like, I don't understand. But...
Right. So, is your thought... What do other people know that we don't?
Well, my thought is, what's in that note?
Right. That's kind of what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. Okay, so do you want the theories?
I mean, if number one isn't leaving your life, I don't know where to go from there.
Okay, so there's foul play, died by suicide,
mm-hmm.
left his life,
mm-hmm.
and then left his life is sort of split into two groups. Left his life and is living off the grid somewhere. Or left his life and joined, like, an off-the-grid cult, which has now turned into foul play.
Right, okay. Well, let's start with what you think the least likely are.
Foul play?
I am right with you. I heard nothing, unless I missed it, about having any conflicts with anyone.
And if he would have had encountered foul play, that still doesn't explain. If he encountered, I'm willing to make this statement. If he encountered foul play, it had something to do with his behaviors from January till April.
Right, like a fear-based trauma response.
Or, like, he was involved in something or something. Whatever it was going on that semester, if he encountered foul play, it 100% has to do with that. I don't think it's just some random serial killer from off the street.
That's fair. But I also go to, but you maintained excellent grades and attendance at school while you did attend that semester?
At the school you lied about attending.
Well, that might be true, but who would have been there to judge but himself about the grades that he was attaining?
I don't know where you're going with that.
I'm just thinking about, like, a stress or trauma response, and you're scared for your life, because if we're talking about that type of foul play and you're having trouble maintaining relationships and stuff, is it really realistic that you're going to enroll in school and continue to do well?
No,
like, and I would be like, well, F everything.
Right, and that's what confuses me. He didn't just drop out of school. He dropped out of App State, but went to the community college to finish to get more education.
Right, and I just don't feel like a super stressed person would prioritize that.
Okay. You want to talk about suicide?
The one last thing I want to say about foul play is if that DUI had involved hurting someone, like, there had been even further detrimental ramifications from that DUI, I would say, well, maybe someone had been hurt in that situation and was coming for revenge. But being as that didn't happen, and fortunately and unfortunately, he was pulled over and held responsible for that before anything further could go on, that doesn't seem like a likely conflict either, or a reason for someone to harm him.
Right. And all that, well, not that all that. He did lose his license, right? Which is, as you should.
Yep.
But that's the big thing that happened. And, oh, I probably should say this here. His mom didn't know he got a DWI. His mom thought he got ticketed for underage drinking. She thought he was walking, and he told her he was walking. And not that he got arrested for DWI.
Okay.
But that could just be an embarrassed thing, too.
Sure, or you don't want to disappoint your mother. I just don't see any reason why foul play would be a strong contender at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it will be. For me, it's not. For me, it's definitely...
So we can move that to the bottom of the list.
Yes.
What is next least likely to you?
For me, it's suicide. Uh-oh, does that mean you don't agree with me?
So I see reason to fall into a depression, and he's distancing himself from others, which can be a sign that someone is contemplating, planning, has intent to die by suicide. However, I don't even know if there are statistics on this. Either way, I don't have them. But most people aren't walking away and dying by suicide. They are doing it because they have access and means to do it immediately. It's going to likely be in their home where they have privacy or something like that. All these cases that we talk about this being a possibility, I mean, are slim. We always talk about, how are you going to hide yourself? How are you going to not be discovered eventually? And all of that effort to go and do that when, not that it's right or that you should by any means, you know, those things can be done in the environment that you're familiar with.
Well stated.
Thank you. So I still think that it's likely, in the sense that there were warning signs. But what throws me is him missing, to be honest.
So I assume you land on Left Your Life.
Yes, I do.
And you almost never land there.
I don't. It's actually really hard for me to admit and say. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so talk me through what clued you into that, and I'll tell you where I stand on it.
In no such order. I'm just going to spit off the things that I remember you saying. So he's distancing self from his friends, which, yes, is also a warning sign for contemplation of suicide. With that being said, yes, he still distanced himself. He made comments to people just in regards to, from what I understand, he didn't feel like anyone could help him or whatever. He started kind of lying about his whereabouts, so I wonder if this was like plotting and planning. He brought his ID with him and not his wallet. Why would you do something like that? We have footage of him safely walking away. Granted, no, we don't know where he went, which is why this is an episode on our podcast. But some of these indicators just make me ask more questions. Do you have anything else to add to that?
No, I have a lot more questions.
Or maybe you disagree.
No, it makes me have a lot more questions. Why was he enrolled at a college and didn't tell anyone else? You know, like, why
How was he paying?
And why stop going?
When you're doing well, yep. Why are, if you're also not working at a job that you said you did, so you're paying for school.
Well, I'm assuming that was loans.
But if your parents are co-signers, they're gonna know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you're not making an income, and you're paying for school, and unless your parents are just getting bills and not looking at them, which is entirely plausible, but probably not likely, then where is the money coming from? You don't just get to say to school, I'll pay you later. They want money up front.
You're right. But I would say if that was anything not on the up and up, I think police would have uncovered it. It likely was just he got student loans by himself to the other school and not to App State.
I feel like that's very difficult for someone with no credit history.
Oh, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that's what I likely believe happened.
Okay. I mean, it makes more sense than picking money off a money tree. So I'll go with that. But why are you lying about working anyway? There's no shame in not working and focusing on school.
Why are you lying about everything? Where did you go when you were gone for a day and said you hung out with your cousin and your cousin was like, no, we didn't?
Let's just say, like, he was meeting someone to help him leave his life. How would you even find someone like that?
Well, they say
that... Is there someone out there like that?
They say that in the area there are a lot of, like, off-the-grid people.
Oh,
which isn't a leave-your-life thing. It's just go live off the grid.
Which she did say, right?
Yep.
I think of people that live out there in the forest. It's vast. What if he's leaving every day or for periods of time when no one notices and he's making his home out there?
That's actually what I thought. Or like he was practicing.
So you've thought about this a little.
Yeah. I mean, I think he left his life. I have no way. I am so baffled by his behavior leading up to it, though, that I don't understand. All he proved to me is you don't really know anyone. He had roommates that thought he was in school and hanging out with his cousin and working full time, and none of that was accurate.
But people don't usually think you're lying about things that don't matter, right?
Right, but he was capable of lying about things that don't matter.
Right. Okay, so is there anything else that you have questions about in the months leading up to his disappearance?
Yes, I want to know.
Oh. Well, also, like, why would you take your ID with you? If you're going to go off the grid? He doesn't need a passport to leave the country. Sorry, I just keep going.
I know. No, you're good. I just want to know, like, what made you go back to out to Boone, move back out there, and then say, I'm not going to enroll in App State. I'm going to enroll in a community college. Like, something was happening back in January. None of you can see Amy, but she's got her head, like, thrown back, looking at the ceiling and looking for answers. Ugh.
The only thing that I can think of is you don't want to make people ask questions. So you try to keep everything the same. So if he had told everyone, I'm staying on campus, or near campus, I'm withdrawing from school, I'm enrolling in community college, that makes people ask questions that
but
you don't want to answer.
He was living at home with a full-time job. He didn't have to go back to college.
But maybe if he's gone off the grid somewhere, maybe it was access to that place to do the said practicing that you mentioned.
So were we both kind of thinking that, like, he was practicing leaving his life?
I think it's plausible.
It's bonkers is what it is. And I'm shocked that you're on board.
I'm shocked. I actually am shaking my head, like, side to side in a no kind of way while I'm saying this. Like, it's almost like myself doesn't want me to be saying it.
I mean, I agree with you. I think it's insane, but I think it's probably the most likely. And if police are addressing it in a way, I really want to know what was in that note.
I do, too, because that is probably a why. That answers a why. Or at least.
But I feel like, okay, so I feel like if it would have been him coming to terms with, like, a sexuality thing, they wouldn't have blatantly said it wasn't that. I think they said that to not let that be part of the speculation.
Maybe. Okay, fair. Fair. But they did say there was personal stuff in it.
Yes, but on the Reddit, people are like, oh, well, maybe he realized he was gay and didn't know how to cope with that. Which, okay, fine. But I think police have come forward and said it has nothing to do with homosexuality or sexuality in general because they don't want that speculation.
Fair. So whatever the why is could answer a lot of questions. Whatever's in that note that we know is near and dear to the family.
How do you feel about the antidepressants they found in his room, though?
If they can't link it to anybody else, or if there was a prescription in his name.
There was not a prescription in his name, and they cannot figure out where they came from.
Anybody could have given him some and just put it into any old prescription bottle. I guess my best guess would be that there was, at some point, a period of time he struggled with something. And he thought by just taking some, that would do the trick. I don't know. That's the best guess I've got.
I agree with you. I think that was initially his plan to deal with whatever he was coping with is, I'll just take an antidepressant myself. And that didn't work. And I think he came home with groceries to have food when he left.
But what do you make of taking your ID?
I mean, Amy, what do you make of removing yourself from group chats but leaving your phone? Why not just leave your group chat or stay in them because you're leaving your phone anyway?
Because your phone will track your location.
Right, but then why exit the group chats on your phone if you're just going to leave your phone?
Either it could have been something he hadn't thought through at the time, like, I'm leaving these chats and no one will be able to find me a couple days later. You're like, oops, oh, I can in fact be tracked by my phone. Or it's a personal way of distancing yourself from everybody before you actually take the plunge and leave your life. And if at some point you're legally declared dead, your family will be able to collect on that, which if you feel bad about disappointing your family in some way, shape, or form, maybe it feels like some consolation.
I mean, maybe. I mean, everything he said alluded to he did feel bad about disappointing his family. I don't know. I do land on him leaving his life. And it blows my mind that that's where I land that easily.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no one's mind is more blown than mine about my own very self.
You want to open it up?
Do I want to open it up? I just want to, like, tear this apart.
I know. It's just like, I want to go back to January and be like, okay, so we drove back out to school. Or no, he didn't drive. He had no license. He got a ride out to school. He then somehow enrolled in a different school only online, which to me is well thought out because he didn't actually have to go there. But why do that if you're going to just stop going? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
This is painful. All right, fine. We'll open it up. I've got nothing.
And that's what's so frustrating. When I read it, I was like, and by the way, when you read the articles, they're all the exact same. There's no, like, except for the Reddit, there's no real rabbit holes. It's all like, here are the facts. Good luck.
What does his family think?
That he's living off the grid somewhere.
And most of the time, I'd say that poor dear family, with all due respect, and I would be the same way, like having hope, holding out hope that they're doing that. But I believe it this time.
I do too. I think that he may come home someday.
And then I don't know what you do. I don't know. All right. Let's open it up. What do you guys think?
Yeah, please tell us what your thoughts are. Amy's mind blown over here.
Just so you know, what I'm going to have to edit out is a good 35 to 45 seconds of silence through the second half of this episode.
Yeah.
So that's what you're missing out on, guys.
Is it her just staring at the screen being like, I don't know.
That's fight, flight, or freeze. And I'm in freeze.
All right. We'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right. Bye. Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.